My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasant duty to introduce four people. There's John Amis on my extreme left, while sitting next to him is... Frank Muir. However, sitting on my far right is Ian Wallace, and beside him, none other than... Dennis Norden. While sitting beside me... is our scorer, Janet Staplehurst. And we'd also like to welcome, of course, our distinguished audience. Hold it, please. Sorry, got the wrong music. Let's get on with the show. John. John, those brilliant lads, the Cambridge Buskers, you'll know them, I think. What are they playing here?
I think it's a hornpipe version of Pachel Bell's Cannon.
No.
Sometimes known in the business as Cannon Your Fired.
Do you know it? It's by Dakin.
It's called The Cuckoo.
The Cuckoo, yes.
Must have a record of Landowska.
The Cuckoo, yes, that's right. Frank, who is this so daintily arriving? They are clever. They don't care what they tackle. Do
The only one who really arrives with the word arrives in music is the Queen of Sheba.
Yes, that is she. Yes, the rival of the Queen of Sheba, Handel. Ian, what kind of music is this? I think you may know.
it's clearly water music.
Yes, that's what it is. Also Handel.
By Handel's water music. I was laughing because I was thinking of a colleague of mine who, when he sang Titwillow from the Mikado, used in the verse where he plunged himself into the billowy wave, he used to take some water and sing that chorus through the gurgling through the water, which is rather splendid. But he always found that it was better to take the water in a bottle and the glass and everything. And he went to this particular concert looking forward to doing this and found that he'd taken the bottle of water and the glass but had forgotten to bring the music.
Dennis, what's this called? If you wait for it, there's a tiny hint at the end.
Alice with John.
Sorry,
yeah.
Steve.
Yes. I was going to say up to there that it's not the kind of thing we get at the formation dancing class. But would that be the bang that John was indicating earlier?
Yes.
Well, it was whatever piece of music he said it was. Which, great. What was it?
Pachelbel.
Pachelbel's Cannon.
Pachelbel's Cannon. Yes.
The scene, Monday morning, 10 o'clock, in the old music hall, the pre-war variety theatres. It's band call. That's when the variety acts used to sort out their music with the MD, the musical director. Bill Rayner of Norwich reminded me that each Monday morning's rehearsal at 2:58 precisely, the trombonist in the pit would play, quite regardless of what was going on at the time, used to play, pom, 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 pom. John, what is it, please? And anybody, what did he mean by playing it at that point? What is it?
Da-dee-da-da-dum. Well, it's Fingal's Cave or the Hebrides.
Yes, thank you.
And Fingal's Herd.
What did he mean when he played?
Pack up, lads, they're open.
Yes, they're open. It signified that the pub next door was about to open. The MD would put his baton down and say, right, lads, 10 minutes. And that was the end of that.
There was a third chorus girl on the left as a dead cert.
There were actually words to that line. Be glad when it's over. Be glad when it's over.
Malcolm Sargent, how lovely the sea is. But I remember once a concert conducted by Fistolari at Sheffield, and all the band knew that at 5 o'clock, all the cafes in Sheffield closed at that particular time. So they were getting a bit anxious about 20 to 5, and about 10 to 5, they were really very, very hot. And one of the trombones said, Mr. Fistolari, what about us tea? And Fistolari said, oh, letter T, yes, letter T.
Yes, concentration for you, lovely. They say second thoughts are best. Certainly first thoughts aren't always reliable. I remember a famous quizmaster. I used to be his musical director long, long years ago. I remember he came back from New York. He'd been to see a show and he said it could never open in England because nobody here would ever understand the word that was said. The show was called Guys and Dolls. Well, he was wrong about that. But let me quote you the words of a doctor. This was in Boston, Massachusetts, who went to a musical show. And he declared it to be immoral, revolutionary, and obscene. Which show do you think?
Well, in Boston, it could have been something like Marriage of Figaro.
Yes, it easily could. Yes.
Or Mary Poppins.
Ian,
in the 60s.
Do you have an idea, Ian, before we bring Frank?
HMS Pinafore.
Not quite. Do you happen to know, Frank?
Well, in the 60s, yeah. When Mrs. Mary Whitehouse was really, sort of, really getting going, this was one of the first things she objected to. It was salad days.
just as ludicrous. It was, in fact, in the 1880s, it was the Mikado.
Oh, wow.
That he found was immoral, revolutionary, and obscene. Certainly right, very sadistic, right. As Frank's pointed out in the show before, but hardly obscene, I think. Let me play you a descending major scale.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Oh, yes. Lovely.
Oh, cool. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Right, yes.
Oh, is it wonderful?
Not much of a tune, but it served various composers rather well. John, whose is this?
Beautifully played, Steve. It's one of the pieces I loathe most in the whole world. And when I hear it, it's by Johannes Brahms, I always think of G.B. Shaw, who would have referred to him as the Leviathan Maunderer.
Yes, it's Maundy music, isn't it, rather? Yeah. Maundy music. Do you know what it is, what it's called, or opus
it's
number
It's an
eight?
Intermezzo in E-flat.
E-flat, opus 117, number one.
Yeah. Good egg.
Frank, that descending scale is in the second line of a highly familiar song from which show?
Show me. You dance with round in the circles I'll
Adam's apple
is
doing funny.
It's constricted by the time.
Do you have a show to go with the recital?
It's carousal.
Carousal, thank you very much. Yes, carousal. Ian, if you double the notes, in other words, reiterate each one, you get a sort of thing like this. It goes. And so on. Now, what would that mean?
I think if I was the trombone player in a previous game, I'd say, I don't know the answer. No, wait a minute, I'm not sure that I don't. It's a
famous Heifetz arrangement of it.
Is this Horace Staccato?
It is indeed Horace Staccato, yes.
Very impressive.
Dennis knew because of Harry James.
That's right. And also a lot of mouth organ players did it.
Yes.
And accordionists as well.
Dennis, where have you heard this tune, Mr.?
Yes, that's Laurel and Hardy.
Yes.
Every Laurel and Hardy film has got that after the sort of establishing theme of... That's it.
That's right, that's the one.
I remember once doing a concert in Greenock in Scotland and beforehand going with my accompanist into a Chinese restaurant to have a quick meal beforehand, and the Muzak was largely that particular tune, and it was marvellous because the waiters all went around. I was always waiting for Laurel and Hardy to come in, but they never did.
My music at Sheffield many years ago, and in those days all the restaurants and hotel restaurants closed at 9 o'clock. If you remember, we went trotting round and we found a Chinese restaurant with a fountain in the window and coins in the fountain and everything. And we went in, it's totally empty, except for the Chinese staff, the whole family, eating pie and chips.
I'd forgotten, or it never happened either, would
it?
It did. An unmistakable thumbprint is one of a composer's greatest assets, I would think. So, Who's What, John, begins like this.
And ends like
this. And ends like this. There's a fortepiano thing in the... Anyway, what is it, please?
It's the Symphony in Three Movements, 1945, by Igor Stravinsky.
Yes,
he afterwards said he regretted somewhat this last over-amplified chord. But he wrote it on D-Day, I think.
Well, a good day for excesses.
Yes.
1945, as you said. Frank, only 17 years before that... No, this is...
How many notes?
Many musical light years away from that, Frank. This was recorded 17 years before that 45 date. The tune isn't exactly there, but I think you can probably work out the title.
The 622 notes in there.
I don't think there are that many, Frank.
I think there's Bugle Call there.
Yes.
Or Bugle Call.
Bugle Call. Bugle Call Rag, yes. Very early Duke Ellington record, made by when he had a band called the Washingtonians. Ian, this song is, I take it, a genuine traditional Scots song, but I don't think the accents are genuine.
And are you sure the news is true? And are you sure he will? Is this the time to talk or walk, ye jostling by your wheel? Is this the time to talk or walk when Colin's at the door? Give me my cloak, I'll do the key, and see him come ashore.
You know who they are, I think.
Yes. Yes, I think they haven't got a great deal of luck in their Scots accents. It's the King singer.
Yes.
Isn't it?
What about the title of the song?
The song is called "There's Nae Luck About the Hoose." There's Nae Luck Avar.
That's more like it. Dennis, another very clever vocal group called Cantabile. They recorded a song from a British musical that they were actually in.
The way that I love you is not in the textbooks. I know of the trials I bring to your life. I watch myself hurt you without even trying. I cut you to ribbons, indifference, my love.
The show?
Well, yes, but I really don't know the song, but I know that Cantabile were in Blondel.
That's right.
Where Tim Rice's music.
Yes, Stephen Oliver's music. Blondel, yeah. Every now and then I like to return to the subject of one-letter misprints. The poet Stevie Smith, you remember, was delighted once to read a newspaper headline that inquired, "Is there life beyond the gravy?" And a supporter of ours in this programme, actually, Norman Brindley of Hatfield, has found a My Fair Lady LP, which includes a piece called The Ascot Garrote. You may find it hard to swallow, I think. A song, then, an opera title, an artist's name, or something you're writing, that suffered a slight misprint, preferably one misplaced letter.
I came across one which makes rather nonsense of the whole thing. That's a Shropshire Dad.
Have to have one, don't you, I suppose?
Presumably by A. E. Lousman.
Yes.
When you wore a tulip and I wore a big red nose.
That would work. It's just one letter. Yeah. Ian, have you written something?
Describe. You and the night and the music fill me with flaming dessert.
More than one letter, but we'll give you that.
I get sent these by people, but I don't know why they send me. And there was a My Fair Lady one that somebody sent me that will please the macho, which was, "Why can't a woman be more like a mat?" I like it when the comment is apt as well. The misprint was Ina Kleiner Yacht Music. And the viewer said, presumably by the composer of The Magic Fleet.
Ian, I think you'll be pleased with a great friend of mine in the Hemel Hempstead area, Margaret Cullen, saw a notice up which seemed to her to read, well, it did actually read, "Glory to God in the High Street." You can work out what had happened.
I've got one spare. Where have I got anyone? Barmen. It's an opera.
Oh, yeah.
Barmen by B-Day.
B-Day's Barmen.
I've crossed that out. I've finished now.
Yes. I had a very alarming experience once live on television, which I was introducing a programme about the knitting mills at Hawick. And part of the programme... There was a mannequin parade of girls wearing all these various knitwear sweaters and so on. And the order of the mannequins was changed. I was to do this out of vision and not from memory, reading it off a script. And the script was in a terrible state. They said, "We must get it typed again. Get it to somebody." And they gave it to somebody who had hardly ever typed before and done it terribly quick. And I was actually handed it at the moment the first girl appeared, this script. And whoever it was had got an enormous number of typist errors, all on vowels. And it was the sort of thing where one was looking and having to translate it back, where it was saying, "Maury is wearing a quote Gulf Sparts cordigan." And I was having to translate this. And when something like that, particularly you're live on the air, the awful thing is that you get the giggles. And I was literally sort of saying, "Mary is wearing a white sports golf cardigan." And the people who had made these various cardigans were very, very angry with me. Yeah. It sounded as if I was just setting the whole thing up.
And the harder you try, the worse it gets.
Oh, absolutely.
Almost time to fly away, I'm afraid. But first, Skylark, Skylark will be sung by Frank Frank. You ready, ready?
Can I just sort of settle in a moment?
Right, here we go.
Skylark, skylark, winging your flight so high. Skylark, skylark, when you go up in the sky. If among the angels, mother, you should see, ask her if she will come down again to poor dear daddy and...
requested by quite a lot of people that, but I have to admit that of all the editions of my music, I've never had so many inquiries and requests for a song as for the one that John sang last year sometime and is now to universal delight, I think, going to repeat. It's called The Rose. How did you come by it, John?
Well, I was having supper with some friends and Donald Swan, and Donald played this tune, didn't say what it was, and I assumed it was one of his. We were all very touched. And then at the end he said, "My dear chap, that's not by me at all. By a man of a broom." Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless aching need. I say love, it is a flower, and you, its only seed. It's the heart afraid of breaking that never learns to dance. It's the dream afraid of waking that never takes the chance. It's the one who won't be taken, who cannot seem to give. And the soul afraid of dying, that never learns to live. When the night has been too lonely, and the road has been too long, and you think that love is only for the lucky and the strong, just remember in the winter, far beneath the bitter snows, lies the seed that with the sun's love in the spring becomes the rose.
Called The Rose. All inquiries, please, to John Amis, BBC London. Weston and Lee, two ingenious British songwriters. I believe they made a practice of writing a song a day, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they kept up a terrific standard. Here's another one of theirs. Right.
In our little garden suburb, far away from the noise and the hubbub, when you're tired of the pub-up, tired of the club-up, take a little house in the garden suburb. There you can grow stewed rub-up. You can bath in an old rain tub-up. So leave all the hubbub and the pub-up and the club-up and grow your own grub-up in the suburb.
In the Lincoln of my youth, there was an elegant tea shop cafe known locally as Bootsies's. And there a quartet used to play selections. They'd play Lilac Time, Haken's Serenade. And whenever they played anything by request, they put up a huge sign that said, "By Desire." Lovely. Well, here's something by desire. Ian and I have done a sort of mutual by desire. I've desired him to sing a lovelier song called Skylark, not Frank's different one.
Oh,
and he has desired me to play my tune of Nicola. So, first of all, Nicola, and then Skylark.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have you anything to say to me? Won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring where my heart can go a-journeying? Over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane. And in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music in the night? Wonderful music, faint as a will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenading the moon. Oh, skylark, I don't know if you can find these things, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me there?
We thank you, don't we, Ian? We thank you.
Yes.
We've completely forgotten that quiz that was going on earlier. A victory, I'm told, for John Amis and Frank Muir. Till we meet again, goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Pete Atkin.